This is the Buffalo, and it is quite simply the most robust, serviceable, utilitarian, and cost-effective bike to ever exist. And it's fascinating. From the 13-gauge spokes to the 11-pound steel frame to the half-inch BMX chain to the luggage rack, which has a rated capacity of 220 pounds, to the fact that every fastener on the bike can be turned with a box wrench. So you're gonna wanna stick around because we're gonna learn today how a $165 bike can be so robust, useful, and life-changing. So why does the Buffalo exist? Who is this for? Well, if you're a field medic in, let's say, rural Colombia, the Buffalo could allow you to see 88% more patients than you could on foot. And if you're a farmer in Africa, the Buffalo could help increase your income by up to 23%. And if you're a student, it could help increase attendance by up to 28%. Now you might say, Seth, yes, those figures are not hard to believe, but any bicycle could do that. If you deliver bicycles to some place that doesn't have them, everybody's gonna be more productive. We know that. Why the Buffalo? Well, a bicycle doesn't help somebody if it'll only run for a couple of months and then it's dead in the water when it breaks. These communities don't have bike shops. They don't have parts. They don't have the kinds of tools that we use to work on our bicycles. And so World Bicycle Relief engineered a bike that was designed specifically to stay running in the most isolated communities on the planet. Right, if you live in rural Zambia and your tires wear out, you can't just order new ones on Amazon. And so when these bicycles are deployed, they include entire supply chains complete with training programs so the communities they're in can keep them running. We'll talk more about that later, but first, let's get into the nuts and bolts of the Buffalo. So yes, serviceability is one of the main strengths of the Buffalo, and so they made it so you can turn just about anything on it with a box wrench. I mean, technically, one adjustable wrench could allow you to fix just about anything on the bike, save for a few choice items. Even the bottom bracket can be turned with an adjustable wrench or box wrench. Check out this crankset. Even on a really cheap bike, this bolt over here is recessed, and so you can only get to it with a socket wrench or even a hex key. On this, it's out in the open, so you can just turn it with any old wrench. And then, of course, everything from the wheels to the stem to the handlebars to the headset, they're held on with normal hexagonal bolts that you can turn with a wrench. And yes, it does have a threaded headset and quill stem. I always make fun of these because they're kind of relics from the Jurassic period, but there are a lot of very good reasons that this bike has one. First of all, a quill stem is height adjustable with just one bolt. There's no need for stack washers or pinch bolts or anything like that. And if anything happens to this headset, you're more likely to find replacement parts. In developing countries, threaded headsets are found on a lot of old bikes, and so you could probably cannibalize one, find one in a junkyard, or even get replacement parts at a bike shop in the city. Here's another tool you probably won't need to maintain your Buffalo, a chain wear indicator. This is a seriously heavy half-inch BMX chain. I say BMX chain because that's the only type of bike I've seen these on. It is so heavy that, I don't know, this chain ring probably doesn't wear out. It wears in. I know that makes some of you cringe, but many of us spent our childhoods just running chains into the ground and the bike still goes. Just to give you a frame of reference for how heavy this chain is, let's take a look at it next to an Eagle chain, a 12-speed SRAM Eagle chain. You can see the size is like double. They use these on some mopeds. And very likely you're not gonna be needing a torque wrench on this bike because everything save for the grips and saddle and a few choice items are made of steel and not like chromoly steel, not the high-end stuff. This is high tensile steel the whole way through. It's very forgiving, and so you can kind of over-tighten stuff and just do it by feel, and the bike's gonna be fine, but that makes it pretty heavy. Actually, this bike is extremely heavy. It's 55 pounds. That's a lot like riding an XC bike while carrying an XC bike. It's literally double the weight of a cross-country bike. It's insane. And they could have made it lighter. They could have made it lighter for the same price, and it probably would have been just as strong, but there's a reason for the heavy steel. See, Buffalo takes a lot of input from their users. They get sent pictures of how people are using the bikes and what they've broken on the bikes, how they've been fixing them. And one thing that they found is a lot of people are welding things to the frames, like foot pegs for carrying passengers and rack extensions for carrying more items. And if you've ever used a stick welder, you know that really thin steel tubing is kind of tricky. You can fry it. So they wanted a heavy steel frame compatible with the types of welders and electrodes that you would normally find in developing countries. It's examples like that that lead me to believe that Buffalo might just be the most user-centric bike company in the whole world. As I mentioned, many people who ride these bikes are actually field testers, and when they send feedback back to Buffalo, they take it very seriously, and rarely does it have to do with performance, usually has to do with serviceability and longevity. This drivetrain also features steel crank arms, and that's not that common, but these can be bent back if they're damaged, or you can even weld to them. Let's have a look at these wheels. These are steel wheels with double-walled rims. That's for strength and stiffness. They're also not all that big, 26 inches, 650B. The smaller the wheel, generally, the stiffer it is. It's also got really stiff spokes, 13 gauge. And these spoke nipples are not small. You could probably turn them with an adjustable wrench. When you have big spokes like that, there's less of a chance they're gonna get stripped out, and there's less of a chance they're gonna get damaged if something gets caught in the wheel. And as we already established, this bike is designed for carrying heavy loads, and so you want really strong wheels. And speaking from my own experience, wheels are kind of vulnerable. As a kid, I wrecked wheels all the time. The spokes would get loose, they'd get all wobbly. Just making the wheels as strong as possible is probably not a bad idea. Here we have a Schrader valve and an inner tube. Inner tubes you can just patch over and over again. And on the valve cap that comes with the Buffalo, it actually has a valve core wrench built into it, so you can service the valve and hopefully keep it running for a longer time. And then there are the tires. As you can imagine, these are very heavy and puncture resistant. They're made by Kenda for Buffalo. These are proprietary. Now, they're not made for shredding loam trails or anything like that. They're made for dirt roads and gravel roads. And so they just need to be wide. They just need to have a good amount of volume. And for a commuter bike, they kind of do. As I said, the rims are really wide. The tires are really wide. I have them pumped way up, but I bet you could air these down a little bit and get a much smoother ride over janky surfaces. Now down here at the hub, things get a little bit interesting. They actually use chromoly axles, and so it's a higher quality steel than the rest of the bike. Axles are one of those things you don't want to have to source or replace very often, and so they make axles that are really strong and will last a long time. Continuing down at the hub, we have here a servo brake. It's kind of like a drum brake designed for bicycles. You've probably never seen one of these if you're into road bikes and mountain bikes and gravel bikes. You would normally see this on a commuter bike. It is very, very reliable. It does not require a lot of service, and it's weather resistant. Everything is contained inside of it. And as you can see, there's a very thick cable driving it. I suspect you wouldn't have to replace that very often either. Now, as I mentioned, this bike has a coaster brake and it has a servo brake. Now, that's good for several reasons. First of all, there's redundancy. You have a brake on the front and the back in case one of them isn't working. Second, if you're carrying heavy loads, you have more braking power. And third, neither of these brakes touch the actual surface of the rim. They're both hub brakes. And that's really important because if these rims get a little bit out of whack and they're wobbly, the brakes are still gonna work just fine. Nah. The bike does have a number of accessories, though. Yes, the Buffalo has a bell. That's pretty nice to have, but also nice, the fenders. People are using these for transportation every day in all weather. I was riding this in all sorts of places today, and I didn't get anything on me. These fenders work really well. I'd say they're almost essential given what this bike is for. But also, there's a two-legged kickstand. On my big dummy cargo bike, I have a two-legged kickstand, and it is essential when loading and unloading people and cargo. And so, of course, there's one on the Buffalo. It looks kind of flimsy, but it seems to work with the rated capacity of the rack just fine. It is made of steel. It is not going anywhere. Also, like any good kickstand of this kind, as soon as you set the bike in motion, the kickstand automatically goes down, so you're not messing with it and your cargo. You just get on the bike and ride away. Another interesting accessory, this pump. If you're gonna have one tool to work on your own bike, one tool, it's gonna have to be some kind of a floor pump. This is small, it appears to be inexpensive, but it's not bad. This bottom piece over here appears to be cast iron or something. There's a lot of interesting things going on in this pump that, to be honest, I don't understand, but I've used it and it's not bad. That there is just about exactly what this is rated to, so let's ride around with it. Oh, I should have chosen someplace flat to do this. It works. This is insanity. How am I gonna get this down to the driveway? They weren't kidding. They said it was rated for 220 pounds. Rated for 220 pounds. That means people are exceeding this regularly. And they said they do. These are some strong and resilient people. I can barely keep this thing stable, but it's not flexing. I carried two toddlers and their bikes on my cargo bike, which is rated for about that. And it was kind of sketchy, honestly. I'm astonished. And given that there are many photos and videos of the Buffalo carrying people and things without helmets, some warm milk drinking, soft sheltered individual has to always point out how dangerous that is and how they should have something guarding the spokes. Well, guess what? In a lot of parts of the world, helmets are actually luxury items. Oh, how am I gonna get this thing off? Wow. Now, one notable accessory that the Buffalo does not have is a place to put water bottles. Not only is there not a bottle cage, there aren't even bosses to screw a bottle cage into. They thought through everything on the Buffalo very, very hard. Everything is intentional. Why wouldn't it have a bottle cage? I'm not entirely sure, to be honest, but my guess is that bottle cages take a special water bottle. I'm pretty sure in developing countries, they're not kind of choosing exactly what type of water bottle they're gonna get. They're not going on Amazon and ordering a bike bottle cage specific water bottle. They can just strap whatever it is they need to the rack. Now, in this big, heavy steel bike, there are a few choice items that are not steel. As we mentioned, the tires, of course, and then also the grips. The grips are extremely UV stable. These are made to be out in the sun in some of the hottest climates all day. Also, the seat they put more thought into than you might think, because with it and the grips, you have your bike stand for working on it. Even people who work on Buffalo bikes professionally will often turn them upside down to do repairs. And so these take a lot of abuse from making contact with the ground. They made them really strong and they made them really UV stable for being out in the sun for long periods of time. Yes, there are trained mechanics for Buffalo bikes. For every 50 to 100 bikes distributed, they train one field mechanic to help take care of them, and they are trained from the spokes up. And in many of these places, it creates economic opportunity because now people are being more productive and they need their bikes running, and now there's somebody who knows how to fix and service them. They even have Buffalo branded bike shops that carry parts and accessories for Buffalo bikes. There are 50 such locations in Africa, which is good because there are not many bike shops outside of the cities. At these locations, there are of course trained mechanics. It's kind of like the Trek store. So I did ride the Buffalo quite a bit on some rough gravel roads, and I'll tell you, it's not a bad ride. Not only is it made of steel, and steel normally does ride fairly well, but it's made of a lot of steel, and so you don't really feel little vibrations, you just feel big bumps. See, right over here, there is a fallen tree. Ah, ah. And I'm gonna have to lift this 55-pound monster over it. Ugh. But it does have a decent ride, it absolutely does. And on the dirt and gravel roads that it's designed for, where it is most at home, it really is good. This is an off-road bike. And I noticed something interesting. I was not easy on this bike today. I was loading it in and out of my truck. I was driving it in the water. I was hitting bumps. I think I even popped it off a couple of jumps that aren't on video. But The bike works just how it did when I took it out this morning. I don't have to adjust anything. Unlike a $160 department store bike, I would at least have to mess with the brakes or line up the wheel or something, or the handlebars would move. This thing is really solid because it's no frills. There's nothing extra on this bike. It's everything you need, nothing you don't. There's no suspension, there's no flames or anything like that. They just made the best, most practical bike they could for the money. So World Bicycle Relief is a nonprofit started by one of the co-founders of SRAM, actually. The likes of Trek, Giant, Specialized, Kenda, and many others lent their expertise and resources to make this mission possible. But WBR is completely separate from all of those organizations. Actually, they're all competitors. Now, if you ask me how to make anything better, my answer is always bikes. Like, how do we make this birthday cake better? Bikes. To me, bikes are just the answer to everything, and so I'm really glad there's somebody out there trying to bring these to communities that need them most. And that $165, that's delivered. This bike is $165 delivered to the far reaches of the globe. And so $1,650, the cost of an entry-level full suspension bike, can put 10 of these bikes in people's hands, create amazing economic opportunities for them, and improve their lives drastically. Most people watching this video love bikes because they make us healthier, happier, they're fun, and they bring us together. But for some communities, bikes transport school children, medics, medical supplies, clean drinking water, and they create amazing economic opportunities for the people living there. And that makes the Buffalo, I'm being honest when I say this, one of the most interesting bicycles I've ever reviewed. And if the AI apocalypse renders all of us useless, these might be the only bikes we're able to keep running. I hope you enjoyed this deep dive on the Buffalo bike. I hope you learned something. And if you didn't, I hope you at least found this video entertaining. Thanks for riding with me today, and I'll see you next time. There.